To answer is human. To question is divine. Welcome to the world of the Hidden Gateway, an exhilarating podcast exploring the concepts humans have been struggling with since the dawn of existence, such as, who are we? Is there such a thing as good and evil, or are they arbitrary constructs? Does the paranormal exist? How can we evolve to a higher state? Can our mind influence what we term as reality? Providing a transcendental approach combined with hard-nosed humanistic analysis, we invite you on a journey to question your worldview in this theater of life. Join our host, Justin Williams, as he explores the outer realms of faith, the supernatural, human potential, and even our concepts of the universal creator with a fascinating array of guests. This is the unseen world, magical, mysterious, and mystical, where your only limitation is your imagination. This is the Hidden Gateway.
Welcome back to another episode of the Hidden Gateway podcast. As always, I'm your host, Justin Williams. Today's guest is Judith Shearing. Judith is the founder of LucidMindCenter.com. She's a qualified Qigong instructor and devoted Qigong practitioner. In 2010, she qualified as a Monroe Institute outreach facilitator and is currently an outreach chapter leader for the Canary Islands. Judith, welcome to the Hidden Gateway podcast. How are you doing?
Hello. I am very glad to be here.
I am so glad to have you. I know we've been in contact, I'd probably say for several months now, and I know I've been wanting to get you on the show, so I feel like everything aligned for both you and I, and here we are. I'm so thankful, so grateful to have you here with us today. I've been learning a lot about you. You have such a fascinating website, and a lot of the things that you do, Judith, are overly fascinating for me, and a lot of them resonate very, very strongly with me as well. Before we get into that, however, can you give me just, I want to know about your background a little bit. Where were you born? I think I saw on your website you were born in Hungary, is that right? And then born and raised in Croatia. Oh, you were born in Croatia. Okay, Croatia. That's right. That's right.
Hungarian border. So, okay. No, I wasn't raised there. I was born in Croatia and I was raised in Vienna, Austria.
Okay, Austria. That's right.
Yes. I grew up in Austria, and then I came to live in Spain when I was 21, and okay. I've been living in Spain ever since. So in Europe, it's meaningful because it's all different languages. So I speak several different languages, and I understand all the different cultures very well. And I live here in the Canary Islands. The Canary Islands, if you compare it to the American Hawaii, the Hawaiian islands, it is always warm here. And this is actually one of my big wishes came true when I was living in Vienna, because Vienna is really cold. Vienna is maybe like Canada or something, or New York. It's about this kind of temperature. And I thought it was far too cold in the winter. And then when I remember I was about 15 or something, I wished I was going to live somewhere where it was always warm. And it manifested a few years later.
How about that? That's beautiful. You know, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, I've in preparation for our talk today, I've been on your website, been on your Instagram as well. And I love the content that you put out on your Instagram page there. Definitely can tell that you are a highly aware spirit person, if you will. I say this, your spirit first. In my experience, I like to say you are a spirit having a human experience, if that's acceptable to you. And you are
in every one of my posts.
Do you? Okay. Excellent. That's awesome. But you know, I was listening to one of your videos, and you know, you're so grounded, you're so aware, and you have the knowledge of, you know, a lot of the universal knowledge that lives within you. And I like in a recent post or video, you said how we're all connected, you know, we're connected to the universe. And that really, really resonated with me. Because like you, and I think I told you this at some point earlier this year on Instagram, I began doing the HemiSync meditations back in 2020, and it's been nothing short of life changing for me. I want to ask you, Judith, what was your upbringing like? Were you raised like in a religious home at all? Did you go to church as a child, young adult, etc.?
Well, Austria is Catholic, and okay. My family is Catholic, Christians, Catholics, mm-hmm. and but it wasn't. They were not very strong Catholics. We went to the church now and then. My grandmother, she was very religious, so she. I think it was her who has taught me that if you pray, she taught me the magic of praying. She okay. taught me that if you pray and if you wish that your wishes are gonna come true. So I always knew that if you kind of pray or I don't know, desire in a particular way, that wishes will come true. That was really my religious upbringing. And then when I was about 17 or 18, maybe 17, I kind of threw all of it overboard. I didn't want to have to do with any of it.
Okay.
And then I was interested in meditation and Eastern religions and all this, you know, like we do when we are like in puberty. And then mm-hmm. later on, I don't know, about 25, I kind of started finding my way back. Okay. And then in 2008, I discovered A Course in Miracles. I don't know if you know that, if that means anything to you.
No, but I read that on your website, I believe, or maybe in your bio, and that's definitely something I wanted to ask you about.
So the Course in Miracles is actually a dictation Helen Schuckman has received in the 60s over a period of 7 years. And she described it that she had a voice in her head she was hearing. And it was like she had to write it down. The voice was urging her to start writing it down. So she was typing it down in her own stenography, which only she could read. And then she would read it to her colleague. They were both psychiatrists and psychologists. And she would read it to her colleague, and he would type it up. His name was William Thetford. And when you read this A Course in Miracles, and they also say this is supposedly the voice of Jesus, the Christ.
Mm, wow.
So in the beginning, when I first heard of it with my own background, I was like, yeah, right. I don't believe one single word of that. But I was like, no, I don't believe this. But somehow with my ego, I read another book which was called The Disappearance of the Universe by Gary Renard. And Gary Renard's book caught me quite a lot because he was into all different kinds of spiritual he calls it the spiritual buffet line, where we all who are interested in the exploration of mind, of the mind, where we all go into. So we look into reincarnation, we look into telepathy, we look into near-death experience, out-of-body experience. We constantly look for the new self-help book. And he was describing it so well, and I could really recognize myself in it. Mm. And then he said some amazing things which he had learned from A Course in Miracles, like that there is no such things as reincarnation as we have learned it from the Eastern religions, and that we are all one and all these kind of things. And then I decided I have to do this Course in Miracles myself to see if I'm going to come to the same conclusions as he did. And then, of course, it was a completely life-changing thing for me on a mental level, really. And then after that, I finished The Course in Miracles. And then a week after I finished it, it took me 14 months. This is 365 lessons. And you're supposed to take one lesson per day.
Wow.
Yes. And it took me 14 months. And this is actually rather fast. And only a week after that, I went to the Monroe Institute, to the Gateway Voyage. And that was totally life-changing. So with that 1 year... One year of A Course in Miracles, and then this week of the Gateway Voyage, I was flying.
I bet. I mean, that's hardcore. I mean, talk about a shift or a pivot in life. Oh my goodness!
It was mad, and then I really learned emotionally because the Course in Miracles is a very philosophical. I look at it as a philosophical piece of work. It is amazing, okay. And so you work with your mind, and you're opening up your mind, and you undo what they say. It is this undoing the obstacles to the love's presence. You know, the presence of love within yourself, who we are actually at our core. We are love. And I cannot pretend that I haven't done it, you know. So I have done the course and I have studied it for 14 years or whatever it is. And so obviously I was influenced when I went into those out of body experiences by the Hemisync and the Monroe Institute. Everything was colored by it. Everything what I experienced was colored by this study I had done for 14 months. But now wow. I had kind of experienced emotionally, I had to experience all this I understood and intellectually. And it was very, very, very profound, very profound. And I'm constantly thinking I have to write this down because it's amazing.
Yes, you do. Yes,
to get around
it. And, right. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I heard you say that the Course in Miracles is something that unlocks or unclogs the path to love, to self-love. Did you say that?
To the love's presence, I would say. It unlocks or it removes the obstacles to love's presence.
Okay.
And because I have got a little bit of an ambivalent feeling just to the word self-love, because we are love, you know. So for me it's a contradiction. It's how can I love? Because what I really need to do is I need to express who I am already.
Okay.
So that I need to love myself. I am love. So I don't need to love myself. I just need to be love. So that is a bit of a difference. It's also especially on Instagram. There's a lot of people, but there's a lot of people who are talking about it. But when they talk about self-love, they often talk about loving the body. That's what they really mean, I think.
Okay.
I don't think they really understand who they are themselves truly. I think the people who do understand it, they also formulate their sentences differently. If, for example, I'm a great big fan of Anita Morjani. She had an extraordinary near-death experience. I don't know if you heard of her, Anita Morjani.
No, I have not. I might have to look her up.
Yeah, she had a terminal cancer. And she was basically laying in coma, and they had called in the family that they need to. She had a lymphatic cancer. She was really, really bad. She had lost loads of weight by the time. I think she was like 35 kilograms, which is like 70 pounds or something she had by that time. She was really, really bad. And they basically called the family in to come and say goodbye to her.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was lying in the coma, she had this extraordinary near-death experience where she understood why she had got this cancer, and that what was lacking within herself was the love, loving yes. and accepting herself.
Did she write a book about this, Judith?
Yeah,
did she write a book? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I think I am. This sounds familiar. I have heard of her and her book. Yes, yes. Okay.
It's called Dying to Be Me.
Yes, Dying yes.
Yes. So she talks a lot about loving yourself. She talks about it a lot, but she really means the self. She means the core self, the truth, who we are. So that when she talks about it, she means it, and she means it in a good way. But there's a lot of people who are talking about self-love, and they're talking about the body. You know, they're talking, I need to love my body or whatever. And sometimes I cannot 100% relate to that.
Got it. Now, when you say, you know, self-love, it's not talking about the body. It's talking about our true selves. Who are we? Who are we in your, or is it just, or can you just not pinpoint it like that? Is it just so unique and so individualized?
I think we complicate life a lot. I think it's very, very simple. I think we are love.
Okay, just okay.
I think we are energy. We are pure energy, and then you have to give some kind of frequency or some kind of functionality to this energy. You know, energy is everywhere. Obviously, the Qigong has really settled everything into me. Now I understand it all much better as I'm meditating every day for an hour or two with Qigong. But for me, we are love. Really, that's what we are. We have forgotten it. We have forgotten it because our society, our parents in our society are supposed to teach us this, because we come with this tremendous memory loss to this world, you know. It's kind of a deal we have. So we are born and then we forget everything. And then we need to learn how to walk, how to talk, how to eat, how to think, everything. And society doesn't teach us the basics. So we kind of have to relearn this in a kind of a hard way later on when we are kind of adults. You know, we have to learn who we are really.
Yeah.
And that is really, this is really what my mission is. My mission is just really to help people to remember who they are, which whatever kind of resonates with them. There is not a particular way where I think, okay, this is what you have to follow. For me, it's just to kind of help them find what will open up this gate to themselves. Like you have got the hidden gateway. What is the hidden gateway?
There you go.
the hidden gateway within themselves. I mean, it doesn't have to be the same thing for everybody, you know. It can be yoga for one person, and it can be jogging for another person, and it can be studying for the third person. You know, it doesn't have to be one way. You know, whatever opens the door, whatever removes those obstacles to this awareness of self is a good tool.
That's awesome. And I love how you say that. You said it's simple. We are love. And then when you said that, I thought of the Father or the Source or God, whatever we want to call it, universe, right? And in my opinion, or in my knowing, in my truth, that is what Source or the Father is, just this energy that's based in love, and we are one with that. And that is just a beautiful thing. So we have all these tools, right? That I like to call them, like, for example, the Hemiseek meditation and exactly. the Course in Miracles. And I know you're really big into Qigong as well. And in fact, I heard you, or I read you say, and you kind of touched on it a minute ago as well, that the Qigong was a missing link in making you understand the relationship between mind, body, and soul. Kind of go into that a little bit more for me. That sounds very interesting.
So with A Course in Miracles, I think this is a mental exercise. And like I said, it was a philosophical work. So I understood it on a mental level. It was a head thing. You know, I worked about, okay, so what is jealousy? What is fear? What is anger? How do I forgive? And it was a mental exercise. You know, it's like when you're learning a language, you're learning vocabularies. So you're learning the vocabulary, you're learning the grammar. This is how, if I may compare it with. And then when I went to the Monroe Institute, it happened on the emotional level. So suddenly I had to feel what I had learned with A Course in Miracles. So I had to feel what it means to forgive a person, because it was very difficult for me to forgive. It was impossible. I could not forgive. And being self-righteous and constantly acting from an ego fear-based area. So then suddenly I had to take this, what I had learned mentally, into the emotional self, and then really truly try to forgive. And it took me years, it took me decades to forgive certain people. But in all, both those things, I always neglected the body. I never understood really. I understood on the intellectual level, but I didn't really understand what it meant to work, to access all this through the body. And in Qigong, Qigong is just a traditional Chinese medicine. It's part of that. And this is a 5,000-year-old technique, tool, whatever you want to call it. And they are very strong on constantly saying the body is always present. You have to go. The body is your gateway. So if you want to access out-of-body experiences, if you want to access relaxation, if you want to access true wisdom, you have to go through the body. You have to return through the body. And that was amazing for me. I always kind of neglected it. For me, the body was like a secondary. It's because we are so fixated on the body in our Western society that is one of the things I threw overboard when I was 17, together with the Catholic religion and everything. So I threw the body away as well. I threw the baby out with the bathwater. And it's only since I'm doing this Qigong and practicing every single day that I understand the significance of the body and how intelligent actually the body is. That the body is talking to us if you listen. And of course it's a living being. There is billions and billions of cells which are highly intelligent, which are making this organism work. Each one of us. I mean, even when I'm talking about it, I get goosebumps. It is amazing. And we are overlooking it. We are taking it completely for granted that we have this amazing biological machine here at our disposal. And that is what I have understood, kind of. Yes.
Excellent. You have been on a phenomenal journey. That's for real. Hey, I want to kind of touch into the hemisync, right, with the binaural beats.
Yes.
As you know, I told you I've been doing it, myself for a couple of years now. But can you tell our audience exactly what hemisync is? Can you go into that a little bit? And then I would love to hear about some of your out-of-body experiences as well, okay. What those experiences have been like.
Okay, so hemisync is binaural beats. How it works is that you make the brain vibrate at a particular frequency, and you do that with tones. Now, you can't influence the brain with normal tone or normal music is because we don't hear it. Our ears don't hear a four hertz frequency. It's because it's too low. We only hear things which are above 36, 35, 36, depending on our age. The older we get, the less we hear. So in order to be able to entrain the brain, we can trick it by playing two different hertzes into each one of the ears. So, for example, if we play 100 into one ear and 105 hertz into the other ear, the brain starts vibrating at the difference at 5 hertz, which would be like deep sleep, just about to go into a deep sleep. And if you allow it, if you, for example, listen to these kind of tones and you allow yourself, you can actually relax deeply and probably even fall asleep. Now, it's not like that somebody can hypnotize you without you wanting it. It doesn't work that way. You do have to allow yourself to work with those frequencies. So what the Monroe Institute, what Robert Monroe had done, they have created whole exercises which are anywhere from 30 to 40 to 50 minutes with the verbal instructions of how to breathe and what to visualize to start with and how to go deeper and deeper into those relaxed areas, even guiding you how to get out of the body, pardon me, and how to achieve, or maybe creativity, whatever you want to achieve, even curing illnesses, you know, healing and whatever you want, learning, for example, fast learning. They have got different kind of exercises for that. That is those different things which you can actually buy online. You can also go to my website, www.lucidmindcenter.com, and I explain a lot about that. But what is very interesting is to go to those courses. These are residential courses of 6 days, normally at the Monroe Institute, but also at different places in the world. So, for example, in Europe, we have it in England and Spain and Germany, and they have it in Japan and in different places. This is actually a residential course where you immerse yourself deeply into this. So you're doing like 3 or 4 exercises per day, and it's like... It's like you get guided in. They've got something which is called focus levels. So the focus levels are different depths of meditation or different depths of frequency or awareness, if you will. So you first learn how to have the body asleep, mind awake. That's the very first level. This is focus 10. Then after that, you go to focus 12, which is expanded awareness. And focus 15 is no time. So you lose, you kind of, the idea is to come out of time and understand that there is no such thing as time outside of this world. And then focus 21 is then when you are beyond the human consciousness, where you maybe can connect to loved ones who have passed away and things like that. So, and yeah. And that goes until focus level, I don't know, 70 or something. I myself have been up to 48, I think. So there's different levels. I've been to
wow.
Yeah. And yeah. And it's amazing.
I bet. Obviously,
and I've obviously been holding classes, and I've been to many where I've been a participant. And what I have always noticed is that whatever you experience is always very much influenced by your belief system. So whatever you believe at the time of your exploration, this is what you will pick up. This is what you will see. You will always kind of get a confirmation of whatever you believe at the time. So if you, and it's very interesting as well when with near-death experiences. I don't know if you have read anything about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, for example, when a Christian dies, you know, has a near-death experience and they see the being of light, they might call it Jesus. But if it's a Muslim, he might call it Muhammad. Or if it's a, you know, and if it's an atheist, they might call it whatever, the being of light or something like this, you know. So, and it's the same in the out-of-body experiences and this what I have observed, that people always pick up whatever their consciousness is at the time, whatever their understanding is at the time.
That's very interesting. And it makes me think about a conversation I had with Tom Campbell. He was on my show. Probably about, I don't know, earlier this year, maybe even last year. And I asked him a question. I asked him if he believed in, he obviously said he believed in source, God, whatever we want to call it. But then I asked him if he believed in like the devil or Satan or something like that. And he said no. And I thought that was very interesting, but he said no. And it kind of circles back to what you said in regards to whatever your belief is what will appear to you. So exactly. what are your thoughts on that? Do you agree with that? That there's only...
I agree 100% with that. There is no devil as such. What there is mm-hmm. fear. So if you are very afraid and if you go into those out-of-body states and you are afraid, mm-hmm. you will look for it. So, for example, people who are working a lot with trauma, this was very fascinating for me. So people who have got trauma situations and who have got the capacity to, for example, to work with trauma, with people who have trauma, maybe in psychology or something, they always pick up, they always have some sort of a traumatic situations where they need to save somebody out of a traumatic situation within their out-of-body experiences as well. And people I have another lady who, for example, believed in dragons. This was like the magical animals. She really was into dragons. So she saw dragons everywhere and they were coming and speaking with her and so on. And people who believe in angels, or the angels are their gateway. I don't want to say that they believe in it. This is just their gateway. It is just their way of accessing this higher realm. And so if it's angels, then they were seeing angels, you know? So like I said to you, I had started the Course in Miracles for like 14, 15 months by that time when I went. So everything I experienced was very much influenced by my study of A Course in Miracles. I couldn't undo it. And when I observe my life, I find it very interesting that the Monroe Institute didn't cross my path before I had done A Course in Miracles. It almost as if I had to do A Course in Miracles first before I was allowed to access the Monroe Institute and before I was allowed to access Qigong. It is like I can see there is a pattern. I see there's a leading. I can see that there is I'm being led. My path is being led. I have to do certain things. And once a particular path is closed, then I'm only allowed to go on to the next one. I have 4 children. I have mentioned this, no? I have in the little intro, which I sent to you. Yes. And my youngest is 16 and he has just moved to Denmark of his own choice. My husband is Danish and he really wanted to go for a year to Denmark, which was a very traumatic thing for me, which I didn't expect. But it was very dramatic for me that my youngest child had gone. My oldest son also doesn't live here in Spain. And suddenly I was like lost. Oh my God, what am I going to do with myself? and then suddenly this Qigong came into my life.
Wow, and perfect timing.
It's perfect timing. And I need, it's very important for me to pass on what I have got to say. But what has changed within me is before I kind of forced people to listen to me. I was like, I know it all. Where by now I don't feel that way anymore. I don't feel like I need to impose it on people. I just feel that the people who need to talk to me, they will come, they will cross my path, they will come. And I will find a way to say to them whatever. It's not that I will say it. It's something will come to my mind, which I'm going to say, which is going to be what they need to hear. So that is the kind of trust I have kind of developed, maybe some kind of trust where I believe that it will happen when it needs to happen, you know?
I love how you said that. I love how you said that, Judith. Trust, a type of trust that was needed. And having that trust takes a certain level of vulnerability as well, right? That has been one of my lessons over the last couple of years here since I started meditation and doing other things as such, is being vulnerable, which leads to being able to trust, right? And that story you just told, you know, as you're telling it, divine design just kept hitting, you know, like that is just divine design. I tell you, and it's a beautiful thing. And what you're doing with your business, with helping others and teaching others, you're essentially leaving a footprint in someone's life and it's goodwill. And we pray that that person or all these people that you help will then pay it forward. And then, you know, you have this footprint that goes around the world impacting thousands. And just imagine if we all could do that, right? I mean, we can, but like, imagine if we all did that, right? But there's so many distractions in this world. And things that we're talking about today, I truly believe that there are maybe certain groups of people that do not want the everyday person to become aware of, right? Because I think that, you know, so much chaos and so much confusion is projected and just put into this world to prevent us from vibrating high and becoming aware and then ultimately realizing, as you said a little while ago, it comes down to that we are love. So that's really, really cool. So tell me, just take a few minutes, please, and tell me about some of the out of body experiences you had. I know that, you know, you mentioned that whatever's on our minds is what we may see. I'm curious, have you ever, during these out of body experiences, have you ever came across, well, I know you have, you know, different type of entities or beings or anything like that?
Yeah, many times. Mm-hmm. So when I was about 6 years old, I had a very scary vision when I was six. And then I always could see things. I could see things with my eyes open, open, you know. So suddenly at night, I would be very afraid of the night because there would be always some kind of apparitions which I would be able to see. And then the last time I had it when I was 16, I had a really scary one. And I remember I had this apparition. I felt that this wanted to kill me or something. And then I screamed for my mother, "Mama." And then I suddenly, the next thing I remember, I was sitting in the corner, very, very scared, shaking that I was really afraid. And I couldn't speak and I couldn't speak to her and I was really, really afraid. And at that particular moment, I decided that I didn't really want to see anything anymore. I don't want to see any apparitions. I don't want to see anything. I was really, really afraid of it. So I had to sleep with the light on. So then later on, when I was at the Monroe Institute and we were having one of our exercises and we were supposed to go, you learn how to build a landscape. So you have kind of a landscape where you start your meditation. It's very, very useful. I don't know if they're teaching this in other meditations, but it's very, very useful to have kind of a area where you begin your out-of-body experience or your deep meditative exploration or whatever it is. So, and I could never see anybody there, except there was always one woman. She was walking along on my beach. I have like a beach and then some mountain place and different places where I then can lift off or fly off or whatever. There was always a woman walking there and I could never make contact with her. It was like an Italian woman, like a youngish 30, 35 year old woman who was like a widow, like an Italian widow, all dressed in black, you know, like a young widow. And I could never speak to her. She was always just there. This was the only person I could ever see. And then one day we were supposed to approach people who have passed away, our loved ones and so on. And at one point there was just like a fog lifting and I got afraid. And then I said, I don't want to see this. And then I said, why is it that I cannot see anything? And then the voice said to me, well, this is because you have decided long time ago that you didn't want to see nothing. And it was so interesting for me. I was like, yeah, that is what I have decided. I didn't want to. So when I pick up entities, I usually feel them. I can just feel them. I can feel they're there. I don't want to see them because it scares me. unless I want them there. And then later on, I learned that you don't need to be afraid of nothing. You don't need to be afraid of any of it.
That's right.
I have been to one of the courses, which is called Lifeline, where you are specifically supposed to go in and find people who have just passed over and don't know that they have died. So you're kind of supposed to help them see the light. And when people pass over, sometimes when they don't believe in any kind of afterlife and they don't believe in, or even if they do believe, but they're expecting it to be in a certain way and it's not the way they're expecting it to be, they get kind of stuck in their thought construct. You know, so they don't have a body, and so they and they can't interact with the people who are in the earth because they don't see them. They would like to interact with them, but we don't see them in our physical with our physical form. But because the vibration is so low, they can't really pick out the angels or whatever who are supposed to help them come into the light. They don't pick them up. They don't see them either. They don't believe in them. So when we are in out of body experience, we can actually connect to those people because our vibration is different. We are still physical, so we can pick them up. We can kind of talk with them. So our job was to pick up people who have passed, who have died, but haven't found the light yet. So we're supposed to kind of pick them up and bring them to the light. And I had some very fascinating experiences there, very fascinating ones.
Wow! So, yeah. You believe in reincarnation? That we come back.
Yes and no. I believe we are all one. So I believe that we are all reincarnations of each other. We are, you and me are one. So I am just at the moment, don't have the memory of you. I and you don't have my memory. So you are being Justin and I'm being Judith and everybody else being whoever they need to be.
Wow, and, that's interesting.
I think we are all one. I don't think linear, and also reincarnation doesn't happen linear. This is also something which I have learned in my out of body experiences. It's not linear. It's not like you are having a life in say, for example, you're first an Egyptian, you know, the Cleopatra, and then afterwards you are somebody in the 1800s, and then afterwards you are somebody in 2000. It's not like that. You know, you can jump around in time. You know, time is only linear for us in this particular experience, but it's, you can be anywhere at any time, and it's all happening at the same time.
Wow. So you're saying, you're saying, okay, Egyptian and then 1800s and then now. So you're saying I could have this experience right now in 2022. And then I could go back to 1800 or go back and then have that experience. Wow, that's kind of deep. It makes sense, though, because I am of the belief that everything is happening now. You know, 1883 is happening now in another dimension. And, you know, it's all happening now because it's energy, right?
It's energy.
Energy doesn't die. Wow, that is. I never heard anyone say that. That's quite fascinating.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so I've told you as well that I have got in about 2014, I started this kind of, so as well, one of the things which happened to me at the Course of Miracles, at the Monroe Institute, what happened is that I started hearing my higher self or my Holy Spirit or whatever. So the Course of Miracles says that we all have a direct connection with God. We just have to have a direct connection with the Holy Spirit, which is the voice for God. This is the voice for God, you know, so whatever that means. And it was very difficult for me, the whole thing, because I had thrown God away and I had thrown Jesus away and I had thrown the body away, I had thrown everything off overboard. So I had to relearn to use those words again. So they're saying that you have, if you, any decisions you take, you are supposed to consult with your higher self first. You're supposed to consult with your holy self, your Holy Spirit. And I was like, well, how am I going to do that? You know, how do I know it? How do I know that this is the Holy Spirit talking and not me? Mm-hmm. So then I started writing like a little bit like conversations with God. You know, so I started, the book from Neil Donald Walsh. you know? So I started asking a question and then see, does anything come? You know, what comes? And it comes. It just comes. I can write pages and pages and pages with any question I ask. It just it goes. And I get a lot of answers that way. A lot of answers which I didn't necessarily believe. It's like sometimes you always doubted. Well, is that coming from me or what is that? But then sometimes come some fascinating things out, like the thing about reincarnation. You know, reincarnation is not like that. It works like this, and then it just comes and it explains to me over pages and pages how it works, or how the Adam and Eve story is a very interesting one. So I don't know, for some reason we got to talk about this Adam and Eve, and then it's the voice. I call it HS. I call it HS for Holy Spirit or Higher Self or whatever. HS was saying, well, Adam and Eve didn't happen on this earth. It did happen, but not here and not in this kind of physical appearance. It happened somewhere completely different, at a completely different dimension. And I can't even remember now. I have to go and read it up exactly what it says. But it was like, what? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Why does this story have to happen on earth? It didn't happen on Earth. It happened somewhere completely different. So yeah, this was interesting. Just an interesting bit there.
That is interesting, especially the Adam and Eve part right there. That just, and we don't have to get into it, but that just opens up a whole lot of, open up a can of worms, as they say, with that one. You know, a lot of questions come from that. Maybe we can talk about that later, off camera or something. Goodness gracious. Wow, that's pretty dynamic. What are your thoughts on plant medicine?
Plant medicine? What is that, ayahuasca and all this?
Yeah, correct.
I am not for it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But this is because also when I was younger, I mean, I'm 53 now, there was the psychedelic drugs and all this, and I never took any of them, mm-hmm. even though I thought it was fascinating to do the experiences that some people had. And that's why I have done Hemisync and binaural beats, is because you can have the same experience, but without having the chemical reaction in your brain, because I was always very afraid of a bad trip.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can't get out of it, and I'm not for it. Not because I don't think other people should do it. People should do it, but for myself, no.
For yourself, no. Okay. And that's fair. I get that. That is definitely in my opinion a very solid answer. I had an ayahuasca experience last year for 3 nights, and it was intense. It was very intense. I don't think it's for everyone though. Especially maybe those that have issues with some addiction, right? And not necessarily addiction to substances, but you know, as we know, we can have addictions to a lot of different things. And I think there are some people that maybe depend on it, right, to have these quote unquote spiritual experiences. And I don't think that's good. I think that it's okay for certain people to maybe use it as a tool and not let it consume them and they not get too involved with it. And, you know, if people go down, do it correctly and around the correct people, I think it can be useful for people, as it was for me. But, you know, a lot of times people don't have that understanding or that knowledge, and maybe some will definitely go too far with it. But now that you say it, I've had some quite phenomenal experiences doing Hemisync that were very, very comparable to my ayahuasca journey. So my out-of-body experiences have been amazing. And in fact, I wrote a book last year. It's been published now for a year, and a memoir, and I talk about all that in there. It's very, very, very amazing. So, but
I've looked at it. I'm gonna download it. I'm gonna read it.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, thank you.
This is again, this is it's whatever helps. You know, I don't believe that every drug, everything what is in this world is good for something. You know, like you just said, it's just to abuse it. We shouldn't abuse it. You know, but everything opens up certain. Opens up certain understanding, you know. So mm-hmm. I'm not like at all against, for example, alcohol. You know, having a glass of wine and on, and you know, it's cheer up a little bit or whatever people, you know. But I, like you said, I don't when it becomes an addiction and when it rules your life, then it's gone wrong.
There you go. Well said. Very well said. Well, hey, I got one final question for you, and this is something I ask each and every guest that comes on the Hidden Gateway podcast. I would like for you, Judith, to leave our listeners with what I like to call a token of love, something that they can take forward with them on their journey, something that you feel that people need to hear now in this moment. It can be a minute, two, three, 4 minutes, whatever comes to heart. What would you like to share?
You should believe in yourself. You should do whatever it takes to connect to your true self, whatever it is, even if it's ayahuasca or and there is this other stuff which is very popular now. I can't remember the name. Whatever it is, if it's Hemisync, if it's A Course in Miracles, if it's a marathon run, if it's a new relationship, if it's having children, I don't care what it is. It is just the bare wish, the bare desire to recognize yourself will open up the gateways, will open up, will bring the necessary people, will bring the necessary tools within your reach just by desiring to know yourself, to know your true self, and to connect to who we truly are.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Judith. Thank you so much. And last but not least, please tell our audience where they can find your website, social media, give them all that good stuff.
Well, on my website is lucidmindcenter.com, and I'm very active on Instagram under Lucid Mind Center, just like that. And this is where you can find me at the moment. I have written the book, but I haven't published it yet. And when I'm ready, I will let you all know.
Yes, that'd be great. I'm looking forward to that. I'll definitely buy that. Excellent, excellent. Well, Judith, thank you once again for being a guest on the Hidden Gateway podcast. I thoroughly, genuinely enjoyed this. This was fun. They're definitely very, very good chatting with you, getting to know you. And thank you for all you do. Thank you for standing in your truth and helping humanity. And that's what we're all about here on the Hidden Gateway podcast. You're awesome. You're awesome. And to our audience, I know you enjoyed this episode of the Hidden Gateway podcast. As always, stay connected with us at thehiddengateway.com. If you would like to speak with us, shoot us an email, support@thehiddengateway.com. And thank you, as always, for pushing your mindset towards a better reality. Until next time, stay positive, stay questioning, be love, and be free. The Hidden Gateway, out.